Hey there, welcome to Homeschooling with Grace. This is your host, Erin Cox. And today we are going to dive right in to a down and dirty, very practical talk about how to start homeschooling. As of this recording, we're about halfway through the month of May, and this is a very common time of year in which families will be considering what you're going to be doing in the fall with your children. And so this is the time of year that many of us can be on the cusp of whether we are going to be homeschooling our children in the future, or whether that would be a new thing for us, or whether we're going to continue to homeschool. So I have some very practical advice and encouragement that I think will help many people who may be deciding for the first time or deciding again to continue homeschooling. So the first thing we're going to talk about is just prayer. And I know that can sound a little trite at times, but I think it's really important that we all genuinely seek the Lord's will for what we're going to be doing with our children. I believe that almost anyone can home educate, but I don't believe maybe that everyone should home educate in every single season. Sometimes there are serious financial concerns, relational concerns, or health concerns that can cause things to just be more complicated if we are homeschooling our children. Sometimes mom needs a mental health break. Sometimes someone may need to go back to work that hasn't been working. Now, I do think that if you feel very led to homeschool, that there are very few situations in which you cannot make it work. So I'm not saying that if you are having a challenging season of some time that you ought to put your child in school. But what I am saying is if you feel led to put your child in school because you are having a very difficult season in your family for whatever reason, that's not wrong either. But I do believe ultimately that we are called by God to homeschool our children. I think it's really important that we all keep in mind that there is no neutral education. We like to think that the public school system is a place for a neutral education, and then we can also just disciple our children at home. But all education comes from a worldview, and all education teaches a worldview. So just bear that in mind as you pray that you are just putting all of your concerns, all of your questions, all of the confusion that you may be feeling before the Lord, and then genuinely listen for His response, because a lot of times He will lead us in a way that is maybe not what we expected or not what we wanted to hear. And so when it's not what we expect and when it's not what we want, and we have a lot of reasons that God is wrong about this thing He's calling us to do, it can be our natural tendency to either just ignore the Lord and not obey Him and what He's calling us to do, or to argue with Him. And so I speak from vast amounts of experience of arguing with the God of the universe. That's for some reason, I think that any of my ideas or my ways are better than His. And time again, I have been humbled and shown that it is easier just to obey Him, because a lot of the times the concerns and the questions that we have, He's going to handle it. So we want to seek Him, seek His word, seek godly people that are in our life that can mentor us, and just pray and make sure that what we feel like the Lord is leading us to do is confirmed by Scripture, that we're not just being led by feelings of fear. And then whatever He calls you to do, just do it. It doesn't have to make sense. You don't have to see the way for it to happen. A lot of times the Lord clouds our vision until we just obey Him. And then once we take the first step of obedience, then the way becomes a lot more clear to us. So just obey. All right. So number one is prayer. Number two is the practical. I've decided I'm going to homeschool. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to step out in faith. We're going to make this happen. What do I actually do? So because you may live in a different country or a different state than me, I cannot tell you exactly what the laws are, but I will ask you to please go to the website for HSLDA. I believe it's hslda.org. But you might just Google HSLDA. That stands for Homeschool Legal Defense, maybe Association is what that A stands for. And I'm not paid by them at all, but it is a very trustworthy organization that has a whole lot of attorneys that know the states and every state's requirements and all of their laws. And they have that information for free on their website. Now, if you live in a state that is not homeschooling friendly. I live in a state that I barely even have to notify anyone that we're homeschooling. And I have no testing requirements. I have no curriculum requirements. I have no reporting requirements. Alabama is a very homeschool friendly state. So I don't have to be concerned about, anyone showing up on my door and asking for proof that I've been diligent in homeschooling my children. And you may live in a state where you need to create a portfolio or your children need testing or there are other requirements. So if you feel like that is the situation for you, you might want to consider joining HSLDA. Again, I don't get paid by them. This is not an ad for them, but it's something that even though I live in a very homeschool friendly state, it's given me a lot of peace of mind that if something did happen and Child Protective Services showed up on my door, I have an attorney and I pay $14 a month and I can call them and they will tell me exactly what to do and exactly what to say, and they will show up in court and they will take care of my side of things. So that has always given us a lot of peace of mind. We've been members with them for our 13 years of homeschooling. And I just really encourage, if you're not sure what the actual legal requirements are, to reach out to them and get a hold of their resources. Okay, number three, curriculum. So you've decided to start homeschooling, you've prayed about it, and you understand what your laws are in your state, and maybe you have already taken the steps to actually following through and making that happen. How do you know which curriculum to use? Now, I am a curriculum author. I write multiple ages of curriculum at shopgentleclassical.com, and I am not about to recommend my curriculum. Here's the reason. We do not do school in a way that is very familiar to those who are only familiar with a traditional school setting. And when you go from a traditional school setting where your child gets up and they leave and you only know that they're doing what you did when you were in school, and to you, that's what school looks like, it can be really overwhelming to branch off into educational philosophies that don't look like that. And it can make you feel burned out and like you're failing and questioning yourself a lot. Again, you should be praying about your homeschool curriculum decision, first of all. The Lord will literally, He doesn't call you to homeschool and then abandon you. He will give you guidance. He will put things in your path. He will bring things to be mentioned to you multiple times over and over and over again. So pray about it, but look for something that is an open and go type curriculum. Abeka is probably one of the most familiar and popular homeschool and Christian school curricula that people use their first year. And it's a solid curriculum. Your child will learn everything that they need to. Now, it is book work. It is traditional schooling. So if you are scared to start schooling and you really feel like you need something that's going to hold your hand and walk you through it, I think that Abeka is a good choice. Another one would be Sunlight. Memoria Press also has full year curricula that you can get in a box. Now, my only caveat to this is if you are starting with a preschooler. Our preschool curriculum, called the Gentle and Classical Preschool, is a perfect introduction for a brand new family that is wanting to get started in homeschooling. Because even though we do things a little bit differently than a non-traditional, things differently than a traditional school setting, we do a lot of hand-holding in that as well. And we have a lot of supports for you. So I do recommend our preschool curriculum, but if you have a third, fourth, fifth grader, if you have older children and you're moving them from a traditional school setting to a homeschool setting, I do recommend a full-year box open and go curriculum. Now, I'm not going to leave you there. I think that there are better things. I think education can be done better than that. I think that works, and that's what's a good fit for some families. But I think that when we really think about homeschooling, we want a lot more freedom. We want a lot more diversity and flexibility in our schedules and in our day. And we want to meet our children where they are. And many children don't learn well from that type of textbook type learning. So whether you do that for the first half of your first school year or for the first whole school year, while you guys are implementing this open and go curriculum, be reading, be educating yourself about other home education philosophies, because you have chosen to become a home educator, and that is a profession. You may also have another profession, so you may work full-time or part-time and be homeschooling on the side. But you have taken on the role of being the educator for your children, and that is a big responsibility, and you have a professional obligation to further your own education about education. So here are a couple of books that I want you to read during this first year as you guys are using that low prep, easy to use open and go curriculum. I want you to read Volume 1 of Home Education by Charlotte Mason. I want you to read The Liberal Arts Tradition, which is put out by Classical Academic Press. It's Jane and, oh gosh, I can't remember the other guy's last name. Ravi, maybe that's his first name. But anyway, just look up The Liberal Arts Tradition. So Charlotte Mason is a Victorian era home educator that has a lot of really beautiful ideas about education. The Liberal Arts Tradition is a little bit meatier as well. So if you look those up and you feel like they're a little bit too deep into the weeds for you, I'll give you two substitutions as well. So read Karen Andriola's A Charlotte Mason Companion. So she will introduce you to Charlotte Mason's ideas and ideals without being quite so into the weeds as Charlotte Mason herself. And you might consider The Well-Trained Mind in the place of The Liberal Arts Tradition, because The Liberal Arts Tradition is a little meaty and a little weedy. So I love those things, but if that's too intense for you and you don't have the brain space for it, The Well-Trained Mind is also a really good option for classical education as well. Homeschooling Bravely is another really good book that will also help you get a little bit more into maybe some of the non-traditional methods of education as well. And there are more. There are unit studies. Most families, after they do a little bit of just at-home traditional schooling, and they read about classical education, they read about Charlotte Mason, they learn about unit studies, they learn about unschooling, most families end up adopting an eclectic mix of those different philosophical educational approaches based on what's important to them and also the natural bend of their children. At the Gentle and Classical Press, we are very heavy on the classical and the Charlotte Mason philosophies with a little bit of unit study. We are not big proponents of unschooling, but that's a whole different podcast. So that's your assignment, is to get the open and go curriculum that seems to fit your budget and fit your preferences and use that for a year. But you're not taking the easy road, because you're going to be spending that year reading several books about education so you can begin to develop your own educational philosophy, grow as a home educator, so that the next year you can branch off of that very straight and narrow path of traditional textbook learning and get into a little bit more of the beauty and the freedom of home education. And then the last step is pick a day and start. You do not have to start perfectly. You do not have to have everything together. You do not have to have every minute of your day mapped out. You do not have to have an entire year of curriculum planned out. You do not have to do hands-on learning every day. You do not have to go on a field trip every week. You do not have to have a perfectly curated schoolroom, which is gorgeous and stunning and will make great Instagram backdrops. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to have every potential problem worked out in your mind before you get started. Pick a day, open the curriculum, and start. There will be good moments in that day, and there will be bad moments in that day. At the end of that day, your kids may love it or your kids may complain, but you have prayerfully started to home educate them. You're not home educating them because they picked it on a particular day. You're doing it because you believe that it's what God has designed you to do as a parent, and He has called you to do it in His Word and through prayerful conviction. And you are equipped to do this, and you are capable of doing it. You cannot doubt yourself believing that you don't know enough, because if you send them to a school system that you don't believe equips them to be able to educate their own children because you believe it didn't educate you well enough to teach your children, then why are you sending them to school, right? So if that system is so great, it should have prepared you well enough to educate your children. So you have to trust that it did. Trust that there's a lot you don't know. You're going to be learning alongside them, growing alongside them, building character. Ooh, it's sanctifying alongside them. So just know it's not easy. It's not always fun. They won't always like it, but they don't always like school at school either. Some kids love to learn and some kids hate it. And no matter, you know, how fun you try to make it, some kids just, they just don't like it. Some kids are just ordinary and just rebel against everything. So be it. But you have a biblical mandate on your life to create culture in your home and to develop civilization. And so that's what you got to do. And you got to start with your own home first. So pick that day, start and follow through day after day after day consistently. It doesn't have to be perfect. Nobody's going to be happy all the time, but you're not doing this to make people happy. You're doing this for your children's souls, the formation of their character, and for their minds, and for their academic futures, and their financial futures maybe, and more than anything, just to help them grow and to be disciples. We don't save our children's souls by home educating them, but we do help to plant a lot of seeds that the Lord will put sunshine and rain on later, and that they will absolutely reap a harvest if we do not give up. So just be encouraged. You can do this. Pray about it. Find your local regulations through HSLDA. Get an Open and Go curriculum. Spend this first year really focusing on your own education as your children begin to be home educated, and then pick that day and start, and just be persistent and be confident. Write your vision down. Write down what the Lord has told you about this. Write down anything that He leads you to know and understand, so that on the hard days you have a vision to walk back to. And if you have any questions, if you need any help, you can always reach out to us. You can go to our website, which is shopgentleclassical.com. We'll have that in show notes. And you can contact us through our website, and we will answer all of your questions and do our very best to help you have a wonderful first year. God bless, and have a great day.